Listen to the voices of our world.
It's a violation of the Constitution, the Fourth Amendment, against undue searches and seizures. It's a violation of the 1978 FISA law.
We've definitely seen legal questions here. We've seen laws being broken. And in my opinion, I don't think we've just seen high crimes and misdemeanors. I think we've seen treason.
This is not about security. It's about power.
Welcome to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. The first word you hear each week at the opening of every episode of Voices of Our World is the verb listen. And whether you're hearing me on radio or on your computer, this is essentially a radio show, and we want you to listen. But when you phone your cousin in, say, Belfast or Lisbon or Turkey, you assume you're talking only with your cousin, right? Well, maybe not. Whether you like it or not, other people may be listening in.
So, how are things in Izmir? You'll be here in time for the Friday night surprise.
Sure, sure. I fly in JFK Thursday, 2 o'clock.
Oh, excellent. We are so ready. Everything's set. Uncle Sam will be totally surprised.
What about cars he will recognize?
Sure, sure. We told them to park blocks away and come in back entrance.
Good. Sounds good. Can I see you then?
Okay, sure. Bye-bye.
Now, the phone call you just heard was between two cousins, one in New York, the other in Izmir, Turkey. And they were talking about plans for the surprise 50th anniversary party they were about to throw for their Uncle Sam Kerchak. But if the NSA, the National Security Agency, possibly without cause or a warrant, has tapped the phone of one of those cousins, well, those listening in may think they heard something much more sinister. We're going to talk today about the NSA's warrantless wiretap program with investigative journalist for Raw Story, Larissa Alexandrovna, and with senior fellow at the Center for International Policy and a former division chief with the CIA, Melvin Goodman.
9/11.
It can be said that the people in control of our government now were put there in answer to our fears. Did we get what we ordered? Are we more secure? Well, we got the largest new government agency ever dreamed up, the Department of Homeland Security. The Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, was folded under Homeland's skirt and, when tested by Hurricane Katrina, proved almost entirely ineffectual. Approximately 1,200 residents of New Orleans perished, with another 3,000 still missing. The staff working at Homeland Security's headquarters in Washington, D.C. report that they still have not been drilled on how to handle a chemical or biological attack. We came very close to having the day-to-day operations of 14 American shipping ports sold to Dubai Ports World, a company connected to the government of the United Arab Emirates, a government that allowed funds to be funneled to Al-Qaeda back in 2001. Now our government admits listening in on some of our phone calls and data mining our internet transactions. The Fourth Amendment to our Constitution says no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause. But should authorities feel an immediate need to wiretap yours or my phone? The 1978 Federal Intelligence Surveillance Act, or the FISA law, gives the government 3 days to retroactively seek a warrant. And the secret FISA court has only turned down 5 out of the 19,000 such requests. So if it's so easy to spy on us legally, why is the Bush administration insisting on spying on Americans illegally? We put that and other questions to Melvin Goodman. Before becoming a senior fellow with the Center for International Policy, Goodman served in the United States Army for 3 years, in the Department of Defense for nearly 18 years, and as a senior analyst and division chief with the Central Intelligence Agency for 24 years. Kathy Golden talks by phone with Melvin Goodman.
Because of what we're about to talk about, do you think anyone's listening in, Melvin?
Well, I think we've been told someone's listening in. So I hope they get the transcript right. That's all I ask for. After 42 years of government service, you know, this is not easy to be a rather harsh critic of the government. I served the government for 42 years, and I'm quite proud of that service. But I often remember that in every position I took, whether defense or CIA or the Army, the oath of allegiance I took was to the Constitution. It wasn't to any particular administration. It wasn't to a president. It wasn't to the White House. It was to the Constitution. And I think what we're seeing now today is a constitutional crisis. And if people don't start to speak out, if there aren't whistleblowers in the government, if people don't leak information, and it's interesting how sensitive the government is to the leaking of information. Well, why is information being leaked? It's being leaked because laws are being broken and the Constitution is being threatened. So we're at a very delicate juncture at this particular time.
General Michael Hayden, speaking on behalf of the NSA, made a comment to a particular reporter's query, and he said that if there was any amendment the NSA knew like the back of their hand, it was the Fourth Amendment, and that he pretty much said that probable cause wasn't really in there. And I thought to myself, no, I've read that recently myself, and I ran and got a book, and it is in there. Now, how can these people not know the law if some civilian like me knows the law?
Well, there are a lot of problems with the remarks of General Hayden. For one thing, General Hayden knows, since he was former head of the National Security Agency, and now he's the deputy to the czar of national intelligence, that the one thing the National Security Agency is not permitted to do is to surveil domestic phone calls. In other words, to eavesdrop on American citizens. That is against their mission. It is against the legal charter that established the National Security Agency in 1951. He should know the NSA charter, and the NSA charter is very clear. The other thing about General Hayden's remarks that are particularly offensive to me as a former intelligence officer, what General Hayden is doing is engaging in policy advocacy. He's running around the country now speaking on behalf of the president's policies, advocating a very specific policy. That is a violation of the ethic of the intelligence business. Intelligence is there not to advocate a particular policy. It's to give intelligence to a particular administration or to the Congress, for that matter, that could help a policy or change a policy or alter the direction or course of policy, but not to advocate a specific policy. So Hayden is misinformed on what the Constitution is all about, and he's misinformed on his own personal obligations and duties as the deputy to the czar for national intelligence.
We were trying to steer away from activist judges. He's an activist general.
Yeah, it's the last thing we need in this country is an activist general on the home front. We also have laws in this country that deal with the role of the military on the continental United States. And I realize that some of these laws are being changed and some of these laws are being observed in the breach. But General Hayden, to me, is quite out of his element in this regard.
Now, it's been talked about that with regard to the FISA laws, I think there have been something like 19,000 approvals on requests for wiretapping, and only 5 over the last 20 years turndowns. Congress, had they been gone to, might have been willing to restate the law, reword it, or whatever for the Bush administration. And they also have a 72-hour window where they can start the wiretapping and then go back to the courts. So why were they so hell-bent for leather to do it illegally?
I think the reason why they enter down this illegal course is this is all about the power of the executive branch. And we've known that Vice President Dick Cheney has been a zealot on expanding the powers of the president. This goes back to when he was chief of staff for President Gerald Ford in the mid-1970s when President Nixon was forced to resign from the White House. This is Dick Cheney's favorite political issue, expanding the power of the executive branch and weakening the power of the courts and the legislative branch. It really had nothing to do with the security in terms of reconnaissance of so-called terrorists. In fact, it's interesting to hear FBI officials, and again, they're obviously leaking information. They refuse to be quoted by name. Mm-hmm. But they've made it clear in conversations with reporters that the names they're getting for the National Security Agency are not only of no value whatsoever, but they've been counterproductive because they've had to come off of leads that they found interesting to pursue these names on a time-urgent basis. And not one of them has led them anywhere except to some neighborhood Pizza Hut where the line of evidence or suspicion usually dries up. And when Attorney General Gonzalez testified before the Judiciary Committee the other day, Senator Biden asked him a question, how many people have been arrested? He wasn't asking for sensitive sources and methods information. He mm-hmm. just asked, who has been arrested as a result of this information since Dick Cheney was on television telling Jim Lehrer for the NewsHour show that the security of the American people is involved in this, and we are protecting American security. Well, how? He said these wiretaps have saved thousands of lives, including American lives. Gonzalez couldn't name one person who had been arrested. He refused to respond to Senator Biden.
If you're just joining us, this is Voices of Our World, and we're talking with Melvin Goodman.
So this is a sort of a grab-bag approach to collecting intelligence. It's not giving us good information, and we know that from the FBI. It's a violation of the Constitution, the Fourth Amendment, against undue searches and seizures. And more importantly, it's a violation of the 1978 FISA law. And I think it's important to understand the context of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, because that is the exclusive law in this country on how wiretapping authority is supposed to be garnered in all cases, in times of peace and in times of war. And that law was passed in 1978 after a period of abuse during the Vietnam War. That also makes it a very authoritative law, an authoritative document, because the FBI was involved in all sorts of illegal searches and seizures. The CIA had penetrated the anti-war movement. This led to the Church Committee hearings of 1975, the Pike Commission, 1975, the Rockefeller investigation. And what was created was the oversight process on the intelligence community. That's when we got the Senate Intelligence Committee and the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence as very important oversight bodies. And then the FISA law to establish what is essentially a secret court. So the executive branch already has a lot of power in this regard. All the president had to do was to go back to the Congress, get the changes in the law. Senators from both sides of the aisle made it clear that the president could have had the changes that were necessary if this was a case involving the security of the American people. So this is not about security. It's about power.
And while Mr. Gonzalez could not name any persons that had been arrested or wiretapped, he certainly mentioned every former president that he believed had engaged in similar activities, but he only told one side of each of those stories, President Lincoln and habeas corpus. But he neglected to say that the Supreme Court at that time overturned the president.
Gonzalez, I think, was getting on historical ground, where I think he's particularly weak. He's not a very good spokesman for this administration. He really doesn't know his brief very well. The important point that should be made where Gonzalez was headed is that every time this country has been involved in any kind of war or confrontation, yes, a president has tried to exceed his legal authority. That's what Lincoln did with habeas corpus during the Civil War. Truman tried it in the seizures of the steel plants during the Korean War. Roosevelt threw Japanese Americans into internment camps. John Adams sanctioned the Alien and Sedition Acts. But every one of those not only was legally questionable or legally overturned, but not one of these departures from precedent advanced the security of the American people. And that's what this should be about. In fact, if we're starting to do this, if we're starting to violate our own rule of law and our own Constitution, then you can say that Osama bin Laden has been far more successful than he ever intended to be, because he created cracks and fissures in the American constitutional system. And that would be the greatest loss of all.
Boy, I need a highlighter to go over your phone number again, because we must have you on more often.
Thank you, Kathy. Good to be with you, and I hope we can do it again.
So, is it all right with you if the government listens to your phone calls, reads your email, or checks out what websites you visit? Email us at radio@maryknoll.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us. You can call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. You're listening to Voices of Our World.